Anybody can be beat.
You're listening to Jet Nation Radio, and here are your hosts, Joe Blewett and Brandon Dowling.
And to another edition of Jet Nation Radio. I am Brandon Dowling alongside with Joe Blewett. And no, we don't have any guests for this show this week, but we have a jam-packed hour of nonstop New York Jets talk for you here on Jet Nation Radio. As always, remember to go on over to JetNation.com to check out the forums exploding with new members and users every single day. We got a great show for you tonight. We're going to play one of those little games, we're going to go through the free agency list here, and it's going to be a dump 'em or keep 'em type deal. We're going to go through our pending, you know, David Harris, Michael Vick, all those guys. And we want to know out there, as you, the fan, are you keeping them or are you dumping them? That's going to be our big topic for the show tonight, as we go through who the Jets should bring back for next season and who the Jets should part ways with. But before we do that, my man Joe, how are you?
I'm good, and I'm sorry for any technical problems tonight, or I had some technical problems before, so I'm on my personal phone, so I might not sound as clear this show. But, you know, I'm doing good. It's a slow week in the NFL. In a couple of weeks, you know, we have free agency coming up, and then we have the draft. But, you know, this is the slowest time, you know, the week after the Super Bowl. So, you know, we got some news. We have some things about, you know, Brian Maxwell saying how much money he wants, you know, Patrick Peterson saying Cromartie wants to come to New York. So there's a couple things that we can definitely get on. And like you said, we're going to talk about the free agents of the Jets. So I'm excited for tonight's show.
Oh, absolutely. I think this is going to be a great show tonight. I mean, the Jets did sign Curtis Brown today. In other
big news,
as Curtis, he said he's ready for his career to take off. Hopefully they will, promote him from filling up the water bottles to pouring the Gatorade into the cups on the sidelines for the Jets. So maybe he, his career will take off in that aspect. But without further ado, let's jump right into it. I want everybody to get involved out there. You know, last week we had a guest, week before. We haven't heard from you, the fans out there, that much in the past couple shows, because we've been talking to some former Jets, some current Jets. Call lines open tonight, 646-716-4697. I want your opinion on the Jets free agents. Who are you going to keep and who are you going to dump? Let's start off with David Harris. I mean, his 2014 was a $7 million cap hit. He's an unrestricted free agent. He's 31 years old. He's obviously, his best years are going to be behind him going further in his NFL career. So let's start off with you, Joe. We are pretend GMs tonight on Jet Nation Radio. If you're the general manager of the New York Jets, are you doing everything in your power to keep David Harris, or are you dumping him to free agency?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's obviously, a lot of questions that go into it, like money and things like that. But, just on the basis of keep him or dump him, you know, I would definitely keep a guy who in the last 4 years has been mostly in the top 10 in tackles and in sacks out of all middle linebackers in the NFL. And, you know, he's the leader of this defense. He's undoubtedly the leader of this defense, along with guys like DeJuan Landry. So when you want to keep, I think, you know, the Jets would want to keep a guy who is the definite leader. He produces. Yeah, he's a little old, but if you can sign a guy like David Harris for, you know, maybe around $5 or $6 million a year for maybe like a 2 or 3 year contract, then I would definitely, you know, want to re-sign that guy. Because another question with that is, Brandon, is, you know, do you think that DeMario Davis is ready to take over the middle linebacker spot? And in my opinion, I don't think he is. I think he's a little bit inconsistent in some coverages and things like that. So I think I would want to keep a guy like David Harris around.
Absolutely. I think you have to look at it with the point of view that it's all about the direction the organization is going to go. And I mean, if you want to look at the way they're going to go through the draft, they're going to go through free agency, or are you willing to spend a premium dollar for a guy like David Harris? How much is too much, and what direction do you want to go in? Are you going to say, you know, we're a young team, we want to go with DeMario Davis, do we want to, go towards a younger group of guys? That's a direction that they could go in. They could stay young and say, look, this team is not going to the Super Bowl next year. This team's probably not going to the Super Bowl for at least a couple years to even be a playoff contender. So it's all about where the Jets want to spend their money, where the Jets want to go on the defensive side of the ball. If you want to say, look, we appreciate everything that you've done. You've been a great Jet. But right now, keeping a 31-year-old middle linebacker doesn't do us justice to helping rebuild this football team and get better on both sides of the ball. In that perspective, listen, if I'm the GM, I want to keep David Harris because I'm not dumping David Harris at all because I think this team needs some leadership on defense. He's still a great role player. He's still a great player in this league. He's a great guy in the locker room. So I'm going to keep David Harris, but it all comes down to the price and what direction you want to go in. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, and especially on top of that, we're talking about DeMario Davis, and buddy, you got to look at who's our third string, and obviously we have Nick Bohr, who's also a unrestricted free agent this year, but he's more of a special teams ace kind of guy, so it's not like we even have a third string middle linebacker who could really, really step up into that number two role. Obviously we cut Jeremiah George, who we drafted in the fifth round this year, so we don't have a third string guy, and I think if David Harris is going to do what he says he's going to do, or what we've rumored, what's been rumored out there, that he's going to leave for a contender this year, then I think the Jets would definitely have to sign a guy like Bray Mullen, who goes from the Bengals, or a guy like Brandon Spikes, who obviously was with the Patriots the first couple of years, and now he's with the Bills. So maybe we can keep a guy like Brandon Spikes in the division, but I just definitely think that a young guy like DeMario Davis, even though he's definitely sparked in his production from year 1 to 2, is definitely, was on the upswing, but I still think he needs some veteran leadership, and I think a guy like Maluga or a guy like Spikes, but, my preference, David Harris would be here for, maybe 2 years, $10 to $12 million.
Absolutely, but again, if you're going to go after a Ray Maluga or Brandon Spikes, are they at the same type dollar figure that David Harris is going to be at? I mean, David Harris is not a cheap commodity. I mean, he's still a good, solid NFL football player and a great middle linebacker. So it's not like he's going to go out there and get a veteran minimum and go out and have to try and make a roster. He's a starting linebacker in this league and a top producing linebacker. So in terms of David Harris, right? I'm going to go with keep him. You're going with keep him as well. The next free agent on this list is I don't think I could dump a free agent more than Michael Vick. If there was a put him in, I will personally pay. He's already out in New Jersey and New York, so I would have personally paid for the plane fuel to get this guy out of town and never come back to this football team ever again. I don't want to see his face. I don't want to see him wearing a Jet jersey. I don't even want to see him warming up with a football on the sidelines. Michael Vick, not an option for the Jets, not in the future plans, not even an asset on the bench, not even an asset in Madden anymore. So I'm going to dump Michael Vick.
Yeah, I don't think we need to have much conversation on this one. Michael Vick needs to leave. I'd rather have a guy like, who's actually become a hot commodity this week. And people are saying, they'd rather sign a guy like Sam Bradford than take a chance on a guy like Winston or Mariota. So I would definitely want a guy like Sam Bradford or even an unknown like Mallett or a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick than Michael Vick back. His drive this year, he just looked like he didn't want to play at all. So I'd rather have, a guy like that or maybe like a Bryce Teddy in the fourth or fifth round. I don't want Michael Vick back here. I completely agree with you, Brandon.
It's so true. You can't even – he's not good on the football field. He's not even good in video games anymore. So he's just – Michael Vick is a waste, the biggest waste maybe of all time in this year at least. Let's go with a very tricky one. Now, this one is very interesting. Kyle Wilson, keep him or dump him?
Oh, I think I think I know how most Jets fans feel about Kyle Wilson. You know, he gets he I think he's a decent slot corner at most, but he gets burned a lot. You know, he does the historic, you know, the great looking finger wag when he's the quarterback either overthrew his receiver or there's some kind of penalty on the play. He does a little finger wag. He's an embarrassment. He was a waste of a draft pick in, you know, in 2010. So I think you should dump him. I think a guy like Marcus Williams and a guy like Dexter McDougal should compete for that third spot, or even a guy who you're pretty fond of, maybe Flowers could play that third string spot, but I don't want Kyle
Wilson.
You're
not allowed.
Spot next year.
No, there is no New York Jet fan besides myself that is allowed to even mention the fact that Brandon Flowers would be a good option for them this year. Nobody's allowed. I lead the group.
Yeah, I said in the slot, though. I said in the slot, Brandon.
Yep. If you want to join my exclusive club, you have to fill out a form, and I might let you in, maybe.
Yeah,
Kyle Wilson is tricky, though, Joe, because Kyle Wilson, as much as we look at a guy like Kyle Wilson, as much as we say, you know, we're sick and tired of watching him get burned, we're sick and tired of watching him make bad plays, the Jets still are not in a position to get rid of cornerbacks that can put on a pair of cleats and go out and play decent football. I think he's not going to come at a high price. There's not going to be high demand for him. So I'm going to keep Kyle Wilson at a low price and try. And, you know, just because you want to have depth on this roster. You saw how many cornerbacks got hurt last year. You have to be able to turn to some guys out there. So I'm going to keep Kyle Wilson on this roster just because I need some type of depth, and I'm worried about the cornerback situation, especially if they don't go out and sign a corner or bring somebody else in. So I'm going to keep Kyle Wilson. Our next free agent is Joe Blewett's favorite player on the New York Jets. You would really be sad if they got rid of him, because you have all the jerseys. You have his throwback, you have his green home jersey, his white jersey. You got everything, right? Willie Colon, keep him or dump him?
I don't know if this is a serious question. Willie Colon he was good for us 2 years ago. He was decent this year. He had one of the most penalties in the entire NFL on the line. I think he had 14 or 15 penalties, which is just absolutely terrible. No, you got to replace that guy. I don't even care if it's with another terrible guy and Brian Winters. Willie Colon needs to go, no doubt about it. I will be extremely upset if I see, you know, a Bleacher Report pop up on my phone and see that Willie Colon has been signed for another year. I would probably not do the show that week.
I am going to say that Willie Colon, again, you know, you look at the Jets' offensive line situation, you look at the leadership in the locker room. I'm going to keep a guy like Willie Colon on this roster. I think Willie Colon provides some type of leadership, even with the penalties. He's still a decent guard. I think that the Jets really don't have any other alternatives right now. So I'm going to let Willie Colon for little money and minimal, you know, minimal type salaries. I'm going to keep Willie.
Brandon, we have about, you know, $55 million in alternatives. So we can definitely sign a guy like Ayupati or a whole bunch of guys that are out there, like a James Carpenter, then have a guy like Willie Colon back here. He's absolutely terrible. Terrible.
Bilal Powell, keep him or dump him?
Bilal Powell. You know, I love him. I love him coming out of Louisville. He's but the only problem with Bilal Powell that I see is we have Chris Ivory, who's obviously a pounder. He's a very good, you know, between the tackles running back. He gets a lot of yards after the first contact. He's definitely, I think, in my opinion, as much as I'm a Jets fan, I think he's an underrated running back in this league. But, you know, with Chan Gailey's spread offense and all the screens he runs and things like that, we really need a running back.
Did you call Bilal Powell a pounder?
No, Chris. I was referring to Chris Ivory. I don't know if I messed up my words there. But no, Chris Ivory. You know, I'm saying with Chris Ivory, you know, being a very physical running back, we need a receiving type back who can make big explosive plays out of the backfield. And Bilal Powell just kind of, you know, he's a good pass protector, but he's, you know, he can't run over people and he can't really like juke people out. So he's kind of just in the middle there somewhere. So I think he might be gone, but I would love him. You know, he's definitely a good depth guy. I wouldn't even care if he was a second string running back.
So what are you gonna do? You're keeping him or you're dumping him? You're come on, get to the point. You're signing a contract. When you bring Bilal Powell into your office in South Jersey, do you say, Bilal, I'm gonna keep you at the Jets, or Bilal, we want you to, you know, we're gonna let you pursue other opportunities. We're not interested in bringing you back. What are you gonna do?
Okay, I'm keeping him, and then I'm drafting a guy like Trey Williams from Texas A&M in like
the
fourth or fifth round.
That's not listening to me. We're not. You're only the GM. You're the free agent. Keep him or dump him. Supervisor. That's all you can do.
Oh well, there's so many factors that go into it. I don't know what else is available to me, but
you have nothing else available. You can only work off the 15 free agents that they have.
Keep them. Keep them.
All right, that's what I wanted to hear. I'm in the same boat. I mean, I think Bilal Powell is a good option. It seems like every time they hand him the ball sometimes in games, he comes in and provides a spark. He's great in the pass protection. He can catch the ball out of the backfield at times. I like Bilal Powell. I think he's actually going to develop a better and bigger role with the Jets this year, especially with new offensive coordinator Chan Gailey. Next free agent, another interesting one, Kendrick Ellis. Keep him or dump him? I am throwing out some duties tonight.
Well, yeah, no, I feel like either
wow.
one of Kendrick Ellis or Leisure Dusable is going to go, and I think it might be Kendrick Ellis. I think a guy like the Jets' new staff might trust a guy like TJ Barnes to step up a little bit into that backup D-tackle role. So I think Kendrick Ellis is gone, but in my opinion, I'd want to keep him. He's actually a pretty productive guy, you know, not in the sack totals, but he's a very productive run stopper when he's actually in the game. So I would actually like to keep a guy like Kendrick Ellis around.
I think, again, you're looking at a guy that there's no demand for whatsoever out there. He's not a hot free agent. He's a role player at best. I think the Jets will bring him back for depth purposes. I'm going to keep a guy like Kendrick Ellis. Next is Damon Harrison. Snacks. Keep him or dump him?
Oh, you gotta keep, you know, the Sons of Anarchy around. You know, he's definitely, like I said about Kendrick Ellis, Damon Harrison is one of the best run stuffers in the entire game for the D tackle spot. So I'm keeping Harrison around as long as it's, you know, a reasonable contract. But Harrison's a very, very, very good D tackle in this league. We gotta keep him around.
Now, here's the one issue with Damon Harrison. He's been working off of that. Last year, his cap hit was $572,333. So he has not yet made NFL money. Okay? So a guy like Damon Harrison saying, okay, Jets, I didn't complain. I didn't hold out for a new contract. I didn't do anything of the sorts. Right. So he didn't do any of that.
Yeah.
But now he's going to say, all right, it's time for snacks to have some real snacks this year. He wants to get paid, and he's going to want to get paid top dollar. A guy, you know, you look around this league, you're going to wonder what guys, you know, the top defensive tackle spots, the top guys are going to get. That's what Damon Harris is going to want. He's going to say, I've been playing off of, you know, low-key, you know, very low minimum salary for the past couple of years. It's time for me to get paid. Do the Jets invest a lot of money, because it's going to take a lot of money to keep Damon Harrison, do the Jets invest a lot of money in Harrison and a guy like Muhammad Wilkerson? Are you putting a lot of eggs in the basket that is your defensive line, or do you want to go out and spend it elsewhere on your defense? That's the one question you have to ask. Are you okay with re-signing Wilkerson and Harrison for big money, or are you going to pick either or and go out and spend it on the back end of your defense? Which direction does the new GM want to go? If I'm the GM, I'm keeping Damon Harrison. I've got ridiculous amounts of money in cap. I can afford everybody and then some. So I'm going to keep them both, and I'm going to still be in cap heaven and be able to sign whoever I want. Money is not an object for the New York Jets this year, and they should not treat it that way. Next free agent, keep him or dump him. I am going to go here with Greg Salas, Joe. Keep him or dump him.
Greg Salas. I guess I would keep him. He's a decent, you know, fifth
what do you mean you
sixth string receiver.
You're a general manager for now for
really,
the New York Jets. You guess? What do I don't pay you to guess. I pay you to make decisions. Keep him
you know
or
what?
Dump him.
You know, I'm gonna say dump him. You know, if our top three receivers come back, a guy like Shaq Evans comes into like the fourth or fifth spot, and we draft a rookie or two. I think he'll be gone. So I'll dump Greg Salas. It doesn't really matter to me.
Let me tell you something. Greg Salas showed some serious heart in the later part of last season for the Jets. At times it looked like he was the only player that was trying on the football field. He had a great play in Miami and then came up pulling his hamstring. So I look at a guy like Greg Salas. You can never get enough depth on this team, like I said. You don't know what's going on with Shaq Evans. You don't know what's going on with Percy Harvin if they're going to keep him with that option. You have no idea what direction the Jets are going to go in with wide receiver if they're going to draft somebody. I'm going to keep a guy like Greg Salas around. Again, the demand for him is just not there. So if the demand, if NFL teams are not going to be chomping at the bit, the Jets have all the negotiating power. The Jets don't have all the negotiating power with guys like David Harris, Damon Harrison, Muhammad Wilkerson. That's when the players are in charge there. The players aren't in charge when it's Greg Salas, Kendrick Ellis, Bilal Powell. You know, even Bilal Powell might have some interest from other teams, actually. So I take that back in terms of Powell. But, you know, those type of depth guys, okay, the depth guys like Greg Salas, Kendrick Ellis, you know, even Willie Colon, they're there because the Jets can keep them around. If the Jets didn't sign Greg Salas, he'd probably make it on somebody's roster, you know, as a preseason guy, a preseason walk-on, try out, see how he does, and then maybe make the roster. He's not in for high demand. He showed some life with the Jets last year. Keep him around, and let's actually develop a player for once. How's that sound? Good?
I'm the opposite. I'm hoping that our roster is good enough for we dump him. But yeah, I guess he shows some heart, so I can see why you'd want to keep him. But to me, it just honestly doesn't really matter that much. I hope he's not making a big impact next year, because I hope there's other guys who are better than him doing it. So,
you know what? You just have a bad attitude.
I have a great attitude tonight, actually.
You have a bad attitude. I hope there's other guys better than him. You know, I hope we can go out and sign everybody else besides Greg Salas, because I don't want to see him succeed with the Jets.
You're just a homer. You just love the guys who are on the team.
Hello? You play to win the game.
That's right, Herm. Our next guy and our last keep him or dump him, I'm going to put him out there because they got the big guaranteed money option, is Percy Harvin. Are you keeping Percy or are you dumping Percy? It's all about the money, Joe.
See, I think we need to, you know, have a bigger conversation just to keep him and dump him about Percy Harvin. That's a 20-minute conversation right there. You know, I learned this week. Excuse me?
You got somewhere to be?
Oh, well, there you go. But you know, I learned this week. I wasn't sure about how the dates work. If we cut him before a certain date or what exactly happened. Obviously, we all know that a fourth rounder we're going to be giving up if we keep him, and a sixth if we cut him. But the date is that I learned this week, Brandon, is March 19th at 4 p.m. You know, if we keep him after that date, we owe the fourth, but before that, we owe the sixth. So I actually didn't know that, and that actually gives me I'm actually a lot more comfortable with that. Because if you think about it, we obviously the free agency starts March 10th, so we have 9 days to explore free agent wide receivers. You know, you look at a guy who I don't think is going to leave Denver. I think he's going to get franchise tag, but like Demaryius Thomas, you can look at him. You can look at Macklin. You can look at Cobb. You can look at Torrey Smith. You can look at all these guys, and not even to mention a guy like Crabtree, who I'm not a big fan of, but I'm just throwing out names out there. You can look at all these guys. Say you sign a guy like Macklin or Cobb on the 18th, and you're like, okay, well, now we don't want Harvin. We want to save that $10.5 million in that fourth-round pick. You cut Harvin before the 19th. So we definitely have – the Jets are definitely, you know, flexible at that position. We can explore it. And, you know, people are saying, you know, why don't we just cut him and then re-sign him? And the thing about that is if we cut him, we cannot sign him until any day, you know, before May 1st or no matter what, we give up a fourth round pick. So, you know, you can't cut him and sign him because he'll obviously be gone by then, because he's not a Dez Bryant or Demaryius Thomas or Calvin Johnson, but he's still a really good receiver. You know, when he's healthy. And the thing, you know, the other thing about it too, Brandon, is we definitely, like I said before, we have leverage because we have 9 days to look for it. And the first, you know how the first week of the NFL works, the first week of the free agency, when teams like Washington, Tampa Bay always go out there and spend huge money on players. So he's going to miss out on all of the first wave of free agency with all this money. So we definitely have leverage, with him. So, if a team like, or wide receiver needing teams sign all these receivers and all these people, and they offer them the big contracts, they're not going to have money for Percy Harvin. So maybe we can offer him a seven to eight million dollar contract a year, and it definitely helps that we can sign him after the 19th.
I think that in terms of Percy Harvin, I look at the Jets right now and I say, well, if John Idzik was still the general manager, which he's not, obviously. There was no way they were going to bring Percy Harvin in, trade a pick for him, bring him in to rent him for a half a season, if the goal was not to keep him on this team long term. Obviously, the Jets' goal is not to trade a draft pick for Percy Harvin and then have him come here and play for half a season and then go play for someone else. So I think when push comes to shove, I still think Percy Harvin has all the negotiating leverage here, because Percy Harvin will say, okay, if you're going to pay me less money, if I'm going to take less money than the $10 million option in guaranteed money if they pick him up. So if they say to him, well, we're going to offer you $6 or $7 million versus to the 10, he's going to say, I'm not interested, and he's going to go take $6 or $7 million from a team that's going to be willing to pay him that. Look at a team like the New England Patriots. The New England Patriots would go to a Percy Harvin, and they can afford that and give him that money in a heartbeat. And who is Percy Harvin going to want to play for? A contending team that has a chance to go to Super Bowl, or the Jets, who are still going to be in a rebuilding stage? So if you want to keep good players on your team, guess what? If you're a bad team, in order to keep good players, you got to pay more money than other teams. That's just the way the Jets are right now. If in order to entice players to play for this organization and to stick around here, you're going to have to pay them more than everybody else. Because if the Seattle Seahawks, obviously it didn't work out with Harvin, but if the Seattle Seahawks go to a Demaryius Thomas and the New York Jets go to a Demaryius Thomas, guess what? If they're offering the same money, what teams are you going to want to play for? A team that's most likely going to be favored to win the Super Bowl next year, or a team that's most likely going to be picking in the top 10 again next year? So I look at Percy Harvin. I say, he's not stupid. He knows you're either going to pay me what my option is. I'm not taking less money, because if I take less money, I'll go take it elsewhere and I'll have a better chance to win. That's my thought process, because it's as Jet fans, And as much as we love this organization, you got to look at it from a real point of view. If you're a bad product, if you want people to play for a bad product right now, which the Jets are, unfortunately, you're going to have to pay more than the good teams. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, that's why, the thing on March 19th, it definitely eases my head out, because if we want to sign a guy like Randall Cobb for $7-8 million a year, or a Demaryius Thomas, who's really going to cost a boatload of money, probably around $12 million a year. And if we want to sign one of these guys, and instead of paying a guy like Percy Harvin, who, when he's on the field, and we saw a couple games, like against the Chiefs, he can be very productive and he's a weapon.
But Joe, very risky though. Hold on a second. That's very risky, because if you want to say, okay, March 19th, you say, Percy, forget about it, we're not doing this option, and you let him walk, and you want to go try and sign somebody else, what happens if you don't sign somebody else?
Oh, no, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, Brandon. Free agency starts the 10th, so we could sign one of these guys anywhere from March 10th to the 18th, and as soon as we sign them, and as soon as their ink touches the dotted line, we can cut Percy Harvin after that. But if we can't sign a guy before that, I would love to keep Percy Harvin around $10.5 million. you keep him on a one-year deal, basically, because there's no guaranteed money. So every year for the next 3 years is basically a show-me kind of deal. And if we don't think after this year or the 2016
season. And that's why he might be worth it, Joe. That's why you might say, okay, you look at the guaranteed money, you look at the salary after this year, he might be worth, you know, biting the bullet on this hit. And if the Jets are ever going to bite the bullet on a cap hit and bite the bullet on a money for a certain player, now is the year to do it. You have a ton of money in cap space, a ton of money to go out and spend. Go out and do it. Bring Percy Harvin back. If you think everybody's talking about Demaryius Thomas and the Jets, everybody's talking about the Eric Decker connection. I know you mentioned franchise tag. I mean, look. If the Broncos right now have a lot of people that they have to look at, you know, if you're the Denver Broncos, you got Wes Welker, Demaryius Thomas, Terrence Knighton, Jacob Tammy, Raheem Moore, Julius Thomas. Those are some free agents to name for the Denver Broncos. So if you franchise tag Demaryius Thomas, what's going on with Julius Thomas? What's going on with Wes Welker? What's going on with Terrence Knighton? What's going on with Jacob Tammy? The Denver Broncos right now could have really, really, you know, unfortunately with Peyton Manning's injury, they could have been on their last life last year to make a run at the Super Bowl with the way everything.
Yeah, I think they were.
Because they just simply don't have the money, and now you're going to say, well, where do you franchise tag? Where are you putting your direction of your franchise tag here? Are you going to go with the wide receiver? Are you going to put it on the defensive side of the ball and try and work it out with Demaryius Thomas? Or are you going to – I mean, here's the thing. A lot of people look at the way the New England Patriots do business. The New England Patriots do business with next man up type mentality, and they don't pay big dollar figures for contracts outside of Darrelle Revis, obviously, last year. They're not going out. You know, they let guys walk all the time. It's one of the things that they're known for is when the big contracts come for these guys, they're very stingy about who they sign. If they want too much money, they let them walk. So are the Denver Broncos going to take that type of approach with some of these guys that they have? Who means more to your offense, Julius Thomas or Demaryius Thomas? Who means more to your defense, Raheem Moore, Terrence Knighton? So you don't know. And that's why you look at a guy like Demaryius Thomas, which the Jets are being named one of the suitors for him because he's very good friends with Eric Decker. And apparently Eric Decker and his stunning wife have been trying to lure him over to New York and New Jersey for the past 6 months, they were saying. So, I mean, if he doesn't get franchise tagged with the Broncos, Joe, I'm telling you right now, the connection that these two guys have together and the connection, you know, that they had playing together, you know, I think that it really could result in something special for the Jets. And if they can land a guy like Demaryius Thomas, let me tell you something. I mean, as long as if we could bring Joe Montana out of retirement, this would be a Super Bowl team next year.
Well, see, the thing with Demaryius Thomas and the whole franchise tag thing is, you know, because of franchise tag, you have to pay so much money. You have to pay top dollar for these guys. So they really have to be worth the franchise tag. You know, I don't think they'll go out and franchise tag a guy like Knighton or a guy like Raheem Moore because they're just not worth that much money. I think the only guys that they would actually franchise tag would be Julius Thomas or Demaryius Thomas, and you look at who is more important. Obviously, Julius Thomas is a top tight end in this league, but Demaryius Thomas is undoubtedly, to me, one of the top five receivers in this league. So I think they're definitely going to, you know, if he can't agree to a contract, I think they'll definitely franchise tag him. So I just don't think he is in play right now. So as free agency goes, if you know, the Jets didn't want to get rid of a guy.
Yeah, but you also look at the franchise tag dollar, though, Joe. You look at when you talk about paying top dollar on a franchise tag for a tight end and paying top dollar on a franchise tag for a wide receiver is very, very different.
Well, no, it's the for the last year, I believe it was 9.5 for tight end. And it's around, I believe it's like $12 million for receivers. But I think a guy like Demaryius Thomas, if he wanted to leave your team, I would tag Demaryius Thomas for $12 million any day of the week. So I don't think Demaryius Thomas. I think Jets fans have to be looking more towards guys like Macklin and Cobb or keeping guy like Percy. I think that, you know, getting a guy like Demaryius Thomas in here, it's a pipe dream. I really do not think it's going to happen.
I think you use the term pipe dream way too loosely. I think that the thought process is you don't know. You can't say that it's a pipe dream because you assume that he's going to get franchise tagged. You don't know. We're not sitting in the offices with John Elway in Mile High wondering who's going to get franchise tagged. They might – John Elway and the Broncos might feel comfortable, you know, just like they did with Elvis Dumervil. They might feel comfortable saying, oh, well, you know, we probably got a contract locked up with this guy. You know, even if free agency starts, we've had good conversations. Remember, people like the Denver Broncos – like the New England Patriots and these type of teams, their egos, they have bigger their front office than the players out on the field. So if they're comfortable and they're sitting there and they think that they have Demaryius Thomas locked up as a guy that they're going to sign for 5 or 6 years, there's no way that he goes anywhere else, right? And then all of a sudden, right out from under them, he gets signed the day after free agency stops. I mean, you don't know. You can say it's a pipe dream, but we don't know for sure that he's going to get franchise tagged. There's no way for us to know that. We could assume, but if, for say, he doesn't get franchise tagged, which is still a possibility, all signs point that the Jets could be big-time players in the sweepstakes for him. So I think to rule it out completely is a little bit silly. Do I think it's going to happen? Probably not. But I think that there's always a chance. Now, when I look at Percy Harvin, let's look at a guy like Randall Cobb. Do you think Randall Cobb is better than Percy Harvin? Straight up, yes or no?
Yes, when you put injuries into factor, yes.
Do you think Jeremy Maclin is better than Percy Harvin? Straight up, yes or no?
That's such a hard decision. I'm gonna say Harvin's a little bit better.
Okay, you're starting a football team tomorrow. Who do you want, Maclin or Harvin?
If there's no money involved, I want Harvin because he's so dynamic.
Right. I think Randall Cobb. You also look at a guy like Randall Cobb. You have to look at wide receivers. And you, when you're evaluating their talent, I understand that they don't get to choose where they play and they don't get to choose who they play with, but I always look at guys who play with the wide receivers that play with top quarterbacks are better. Clearly, you know, they're in a better position than everybody else. Is Randall Cobb a product of playing with Aaron Rodgers in the Green Bay Packers offense? You know what I mean? I mean, Jeremy Maclin, different story. Jeremy Maclin has put up some good numbers with some not-so-hot quarterbacks. But Jeremy Macklin's also playing in a dynamic passing, you know, passing-type offense that's geared towards moving the football through the air. So when you look at Percy Harvin, you know, he showed some life here with the Jets last year at times. You saw what he could do with the Jets. It entices us to bring him back here. When I look at those type of guys, is Randall Cobb a good player? Is he dynamic? Absolutely. Randall Cobb has also played his entire career with Aaron Rodgers. Going from Aaron Rodgers to Geno Smith is like driving a Lamborghini and then getting in your beat-up old Ford going home to work. Okay? I mean, that's the difference of those two type of quarterbacks. So I think it all comes down to how comfortable the Jets are with Percy Harvin and that dollar figure. They have a lot of money to spend. I think you have to have all your ducks in a row in terms of Wilkerson signed, Harrison signed, know what's going on with David Harris. And then you can say, because, you know, like what you said with the March 19th, you'll know what type of free agents you want to target and what type of money is going to be needed. If you think that you're going to lock up a free agent wide receiver and you know that $10 million is going to be a problem and you can bring somebody else in here to replace Percy Harvin that you think is going to make this football team better, then absolutely, go ahead and do that. But until you have an absolute replacement, You can't get rid of Percy Harvin regardless for what he wants, because you need the depth on the roster. You can't make you can't go into next season without improving this roster. Getting rid of Percy Harvin because of money immediately makes this roster weaker, straight up.
Oh yeah. You know, if they cut him, you know, the day before free agency, if they cut him on March 9th, I would be pissed off. But you know, if they want to cut him, and obviously after they bring in a guy like Macklin, Copper, or one of these guys, I'd obviously, you know, be completely okay with it. So I'm not really sweating the receiver position too much. Obviously, we have options with Harvin and all the guys we just talked about in free agency. You have Decker, who was actually very solid for us last year when he wasn't battling that hamstring injury. Curley disappeared at times, but I think that was part of Marty Mornaway just as much as it was him. So the receiver position is not one of my worries. But another thing I figured out this week, Brandon, was the whole Chris Johnson thing. You know, we've been saying, are we going to cut him? Are we going to save that $3.5 million? And I learned a couple days ago that if we don't cut him by February 16th, we actually owe him $500,000. And I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but obviously if the team decides they want to cut him, they're going to cut him before that date. So they're going to make a decision, you know, before our show next week. So we'll know if a guy like Chris Johnson is on the team. And we brought up Lyle Powell before, you know, we both said that we want to keep him. So, you know, what do you want to do with Chris Johnson? I think we both agree that we're going to cut him. We're going to save that $500,000. So, you know, how do you feel about the whole Chris Johnson situation, Brandon? You know, do you want to keep him?
I see what he could do in a
system like Changeli, or what do you want to do with Chris Johnson? You want to cut him and save that $3.5 million?
I mean, it all depends on how they feel about CJ Spiller, because Chris Johnson is one of the best, if not the best, screen back in the game. I mean, that's what Chris Johnson's game is. He's a screen guy. If you set him up in a screen in space, he's going to take off, and he's going to be very, very dynamic. And you know, that's his best part of Chris Johnson's game is his screen. So if you look at Changeli, and Changeli evaluates this and says, look, I'm going to need a guy like Chris Johnson if I'm going to have my screen game working, and I'm going to have, you know, be setting up a lot of screens for him throughout the course of the game. If Changeli doesn't feel, and the Jets don't feel like CJ Spiller is going to be an option and they can't go out and get him, then I'm going to look at Chris Johnson as an alternative. I mean, let's be honest here. What's the market for a guy like Chris Johnson? It's probably not too crazy. It's probably maybe a couple teams. You know, so I look at a guy like Chris Johnson and I say to myself, it's all about if the offensive coordinator thinks that he can be a valuable asset to this team going forward. If Changeli thinks that he can use Chris Johnson and get a lot out of him because he loves the screen and he's a good screen back, absolutely, go for it. But if you don't think so and you think you can go get a CJ Spiller or, you know, utilize Bilal Powell more and maybe draft a late running back, then go for it that way.
That's more where I am, Brandon. I'd rather keep a guy like Ivory in here. I'd rather keep a guy like Powell, you know, demand him some more or tell him he's going to get some more runs so he signs the dotted line with us, and then draft a guy, like I said before, Trey Williams from Texas A&M, and, you know, the fourth, fifth, sixth round, because if you're just looking for a receiving back, you know, running backs who can catch the ball and who can you know, do some work in space are a dime a dozen. You can find them all over the place. You know, look at the draft last year, like DeAnthony Thomas and guys like that. So we can definitely find a guy in the late rounds who could catch the ball in the backfield and make some plays. But I don't think I want to keep Chris Johnson for $3.5 million. I hope by the next time we get onto this show, you know, he is cut, because there's so many more options out there. And even in free agency, there's a whole bunch of names out there who could catch the ball and do some things like that. But something else I want to get your opinion on too, which we were talking about last week, and I think we both agree with this, but I just wanted to get your I don't know if you heard the whole Patrick Peterson thing yesterday, that he said that he's trying to convince Cromartie to come back to the Cardinals, but he says all his quote is, all Cromartie talks about is freaking New York. So I didn't know if you heard about that, Brandon.
Oh yeah, I did. I mean, again, you know, Antonio Cromartie has to make the decision. If Antonio Cromartie is sitting in a room and Antonio Cromartie says, man, I love playing for the Jets, I love playing for New York, you know, the fans are great, the organization's great, this is where my home is, he lives in New Jersey, he put out an Instagram about, you know, how his it's so good to be in his bed in New Jersey and blah, 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 and then this thing. I mean, look, Antonio Cromartie, there's a market for Antonio Cromartie outside of the Cardinals and the Jets. I mean, there are, you know, he had a good year last year. So, you know, I think Antonio Cromartie should have never left here. And again, that was another thing everybody ripped me for last year when I was all over the Antonio Cromartie fan base and everybody said, oh, you know, he was the worst cornerback in football last year. But besides that, and then that blew up in our face like everybody else. So I look at, you know, if Antonio Cromartie wants to get to potentially the Super Bowl, what team's in better position to do that, the Cardinals or the Jets?
No, I guess it would be the Cardinals, but there's a lot of questions with them this year too. So I think he's going to come back to New York. It sounds like it's almost a guarantee that if we offer him a contract.
No, I'm asking you a question. I'm asking you a question. Who has right? It's not even close, Joe. I mean, if you look at the Cardinals' record last year, the Cardinals are a playoff team, but even more so. They're a Super Bowl contender right now, the way they're set up, especially when they get, you know, Carson Palmer potentially coming back. So the Cardinals right now are a Super Bowl contender and a top 10 team in the National Football League right now. So if you're Antonio Cromartie, do you want to continue playing on a team that's most likely going to get into the playoffs and get to the dance and have a chance to go to the Super Bowl? Or do you want to come back to the Jets, probably be right around 500, if not below, and be on a football team that's still, you know, getting themselves together and trying to fix themselves for the future? That's the decision he has to make. It's if he wants to play for a rebuilding type team or a playoff contender. Again, if it comes down to it and you're the Jets, you're going to have to pay more for these people because you're trying to entice players to come to a broken product. If you've got a good product, if you have a good product and you have a bad product, you want people to come to the bad product, money talks. That's the way it works.
I agree with that opinion on most cornerbacks and most free agents in this league, but you know, with the things that Cromartie's been coming out and saying, you know, these past couple of weeks, it really seems like he would come here for, you know, market price or even a little bit below market price. So I think Cromartie has a great chance of coming back here, Brandon. But
I think it's a home run. I think it's a home run that he comes back here, Joe. I'm not doubting that whatsoever. But if for some reason he's sitting in his bed and he's doing some late night thinking and he says to himself, do I want to win a championship or do I just want to play in football games for two more years? Go ahead.
Obviously his home is here, so and he loved playing here, like Patrick Peterson says, that's all he talks about and things like that. So we'll see how that unfolds in a couple of weeks, but he's been basically, you know, he's been having a campaign to come back to New York. But something else I wanted to ask you, Brandon, and you know, we only have a couple minutes left, we have about 13 minutes left, but you know, I give you my take on Mariota and how Winston's playing in his off the field things, and I'm honestly not too sure if I would even want to take one of them at six. But I want to ask you a question that I asked Darren Walls last week in our interview: if you had to choose, and you're at number six, and Woody Johnson is pounding on your table, and Brandon Dowling is the new GM of the Jets, and you're deciding who to take between Mariota and Winston, who are you taking, Brandon?
I'm going to say, I'm the new GM of the Jets. I have to go with a safer pick. I can't take a guy. I can't make a bad decision as my first pick, especially with the sixth pick in the draft. I don't think Jameis Winston's going to fall. I think Jameis Winston, everybody talking about him going number one now, all the big guys, the McShays and the, you know, all those draft guys, they're all talking about Jameis Winston going number one now. If I'm the Jets, I'm staying away from Jameis Winston. I'm staying away from a controversial name. I'm staying away from the off-the-field issues. I just don't think this organization is in a position right now to draft and get another controversial quarterback. I think you look at a Marcus Mariota, he's a nice, quiet kid who does – he's a great football player, Heisman Trophy winner, a lot of tools, can be very successful in this league. That's the reason why, I mean, if I'm choosing off of pure talent and off of, you know, who might be the better NFL quarterback, I might go with Jameis Winston. But this organization is not in a position to take Jameis Winston right now. They don't need that type of publicity. They don't need that type of head case, and they don't need somebody. I mean, look, Jameis Winston could be a Jamarcus Russell for all we know. It's exactly what Jameis Winston could turn out to be. He could turn out to be a great college player, champion, and then a bust. So I'm going to go with the safer pick is Mariota, because the Jets don't need to be the team that everybody is talking about, Jameis Winston, Jameis Winston, Jameis Winston. We're trying to get away from that.
Oh, can you even imagine how bad the media would be here, you know, a month after?
Oh, it would be insane.
Oh, yeah. See, the thing with Jameis Winston is I think he's definitely he's on the field. I think he's 100% better than Mariota. He plays in a pro-style offense. You know, he makes all the throws. He throws in the tight windows. He has a big arm. It's just his off the field is just terrible. So it really scares me. I don't think that any of these guys are locks. And to be completely honest, I wouldn't take any of these guys at six. I'd rather take Brandon. I'm telling you right now.
Well, if Mariota's there at six, the Jets are taking him. I'm telling you that right
yeah,
now.
The thing with Mariota is he's such an unknown player in that system.
You know what? They don't care. They don't care. If Marcus
Mariota, I hope they care.
If Marcus Mariota or Jameis Winston is there at six, they're taking a quarterback. I want you to begin the coping process now. If a quarterback is there at six, Jameis Winston or Marcus Mariota, the New York Jets will take that quarterback.
Yeah, but see, Brandon, the same thing was said two years ago with Geno Smith, that he's a top-10 lock, and that Teddy Bridgewater is a top-10 lock, and they fell into the second round.
They didn't play college ball. They didn't play college ball like Mariota and Jameis Winston.
Mariota comes from a spread offense who's a one-read quarterback.
Right,
he's not a given.
But these guys, Mariota's numbers are also historic. You're looking at historic numbers for Mariota and a winner in Jameis Winston. Geno Smith
had some good numbers coming out of college too.
Of course he did, but they were not like Marcus Mariota, and nobody was a winner, you know, like Jameis Winston. So you look at these two guys, you have to say to yourself, where is my organization right now? And the Jets can't take a Jameis Winston. If he's there at six and Mariota goes at one, they're going to take him. I know they're going to take him. They're not going to pass up on a quarterback. They're going to draft a quarterback in the first round if he's there. Now, look, Jameis Winston and Mariota, they might go 1-2. It might happen. They might go boom, boom. You never know how the draft is going to go. There was talk about the Cleveland Browns trading up into the top three to draft Mariota or Jameis Winston. So we have no idea what's going to happen. It's so far away, but if I'm the Jets and I'm sitting at six and Mariota's there, I'm going to take him, because guess what? Especially you're going to see how free agent goes. If you don't land a Sam Bradford, if you don't land a free agent quarterback that's worth even playing, because I don't want to bring Michael Vick or another quarterback like that in here that means absolutely nothing, that's going to provide no type of skill or any type of production on the field. So if you don't bring in a free agent quarterback that's going to help, and you bring in a free agent wide receiver, hey, look, you go out there and you bring you keep a Percy Harvin, and you go sign a wide receiver, and you got Harvin, Decker, Curley, Amaro. You know, you bring in a Randall Cobb at that. Who knows? Even a Demaryius Thomas. You're sitting pretty ridiculously. So it all comes down to where the Jets are after free agency. If you got Sam Bradford and Geno Smith and you don't sign a wide receiver, okay, you might look at a guy like Amari Cooper. That might be the better option, but you don't know.
Yeah, but see, the thing with the draft, my feeling on the draft is, you know, even if you don't bring in a quarterback and you have Geno Smith and you have Matt Sims, I don't think that you're just going to bring in a guy like Mariota or Winston because you don't have a quarterback.
You know, of course you are.
Brandon, I would be so pissed off if that was their thinking because we didn't bring in a free agent quarterback, we're going to waste our sixth pick on somebody who we don't think is going to be a great quarterback. So I'm telling you, from my personal opinion, there's a whole bunch of linebackers. A guy like Randy Gregory from Nebraska, or a guy who I desperately want right now and who would be one of my first picks in the draft. And if I had a pick of who the Jets get right now, It would be Fowler from Florida, the outside linebacker slash DN. He's an absolute beast. And I think, honestly, this defense is a pass rusher, a great pass rusher away from being a really good defense, especially, obviously, if we address the secondary problem.
So you think they need a pass rusher more than they need a cornerback right now? Are you kidding me?
No, obviously we need a cornerback more than a pass rusher, but there's no who you're going to take in the top of the draft. You're going to take Trey Williams or a guy like Marcus Peters at number six.
You cannot draft defense again in the first round. Can't keep spending first round picks on defense. Go find another football team that continuously. The amount of first round defensive pick the Jets take is astounding. You can't do it. There's no way for you to defend them taking another defensive player. You have to improve the offensive side of the ball. You have to go out and either take a lineman, take a dynamic wide receiver, or draft a quarterback. If you don't do any of those three things, then you're stupid as a general manager. You can't go out and can't keep drafting the defensive side of the ball. You can't do it.
So you're telling me that if a guy like the tackle from Iowa, Sheriff, is gone, or Sharif is gone, and then Amari Cooper is gone, Winston's gone, Mariota's gone. You're just going to take offense just because, you know, these fans would be so pissed off because he's such a defensive guy.
You got the six pick in the draft. You're telling me you can't at six, you can't draft an offensive player that's going to change your offense and make you better on the offensive side of the ball?
But Brandon, the sixth pick is so incredibly valuable. That if they're sitting there at six and a guy like Randy Gregory or Fowler is there and they think that he's going to be the next Julius Peppers or a guy like Von Miller and they think he's going to be that good, and they're saying, oh, well, no, screw it. We're going to take an offensive lineman because the fans will be pissed off if they take an outside linebacker.
It's not about the fans being pissed off. It's about knowing your personnel. It's not about the fans being pissed off. It's looking at how
Brandon in the first round you take best player available. Brandon, best player available. You don't draft by need.
Yeah, but they've been that's your opinion. You're not an NFL general manager.
That is most draft experts' opinion. But okay.
You look at your team right now, and you look at where you've been putting in your first-round picks to, and at some point in time, you have to spend a first-round pick on the offensive side of the ball. You have to do it. The only way you're going to improve this offense is by starting to put talented guys on the offensive side of the ball through the draft. When's the last time the Jets spent a first-round pick on an offensive lineman? Let's get the behind-the-scenes team on that. Nick Mangold
or DeBrickershaw Ferguson. I forget who was the first pick, but I believe that was in 2006.
What draft is that? We were learning how to multiply numbers the last time they drafted
Brandon,
those guys?
If all these guys, if Cooper, Mariota, and all these guys are gone, you're not going to just take a guy because you have a need.
Have you looked at any of the mock drafts?
Brandon, mock drafts mean absolutely nothing. They mean absolute crap.
Okay.
No mock draft is even close to correct.
So us sitting here talking about them all being gone means absolutely nothing. It's draft day. You can't just sit here and say, well, if all these guys are gone and this guy's gone and this guy's gone, the Jets right now have to look at their team and say where do we need help the most? And if you're gonna look at the draft and say, so if a left end or a right end and a defensive lineman was the best player, so your logic is if a defensive tackle or a defensive end was the best player on the board at six, regardless that we have Sheldon Richardson and Muhammad Wilkerson, we should just go ahead and take them, right?
Okay, obviously, I obviously wasn't talking about defensive ends. You take the best player available at a position of need, and an outside linebacker is a huge need. Brandon, you don't draft in the first round because you need a guy.
You just completely contradicted yourself. You just said,
"Oh my,
so
Brandon!"
You said,
"Come on, man!
Hold on a second." You said you don't draft for need, but then you just said that if the best player available was a defensive tackle or a left end, you wouldn't draft them because you don't need them. I'm confused.
I just said a best player available at a position of need. So if there's if there's a guy like Leonard Williams who you think is going to be great, and then you think that a guy like Randall Gregory is a little bit less of a good pick than him, but he's at a huge position of need, then yes, you're going to pick a guy like Randy Gregory. But I don't care if a guy like Mariota is there and they're like, oh, well, he might help us, but you see a guy like Bud Dupree or a Fowler there, you take them because a sixth pick is a huge pick, and you're not just going to waste it because it's a position
like quarterback. Let me tell you this. I am not sold on Mariota or Winston at all. I'm not sold on either one of those guys. I don't think they're home run hitters. But if the Jets are sitting at six and one of them is available, they have to try and improve this football team. And if they think that's the best player available and they think that they can make an impact and they can help make this team better in the long run, and Marcus Mariota is the guy for them, I have no problem with them taking that. Go ahead, Joe. Go ahead.
I agree with that. If Mariota or Winston's there, and you think they're the best player available, and obviously it's a quarterback, and you think that they're better than a guy like Shane Ray or one of these tackles, like the guy from Iowa, you know, obviously take them. But I just don't think, in my personal opinion, from the film I've watched, that Mariota or even Winston, Winston on tape would be worth it, but I just think his off-the-field issues really, really hurt him. So I honestly
the Jets aren't in a position right now to bring a guy like that in here. You're trying to clean up the organization from top to bottom. Drafting Jameis Winston is not one way to do that.
Yeah. It would be the definition of a circus. I would not want to see that.
Well, I mean, at least this is talk one of the draft as we sit here in February. So there's a lot more draft talk to go, free agency talk to go. It's definitely fun, though. And remember, the sports talk does not stop on Jet Nation Radio. You can go on over to JetNation.com and check out the forums. They're exploding every single day with new people logging on, talking about all things Jets. Who do you think the Jets are going to take in the draft with your early predictions? Who do you want to see them sign in free agency? Are you paying Percy Harvin $10.5 million guaranteed money to bring him back next year and, you know, obviously to complete his contract? JetNation.com. Check it out. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and we will see you next week. Thank you for tuning in to Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time right here on Jet Nation Radio.